The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Again, we want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about an interesting segment today. I'm going to be dealing with some parallels that I think we might be seeing as a precursor to where we're heading. And that's why I've entitled this, Are We Seeing Parallels from the Book of Daniel Beginning to Unfold? So again, at this time, we want to welcome all of our Facebook Live audience and our podcast audience and our YouTube audience as well. Thank you guys for jumping on here today and jumping on the broadcast. If you've got the book, if you have your Bible with you today, I want you to open to the book of Daniel. We're going to be hopping around here. I'm going to go to the book of Daniel chapter 1, and then we're going to go over to the book of Daniel chapter 3, and then we're going to close it out probably in Daniel chapter 5. So Daniel 1, 3, and 5. And I'm just going to read a little bit of this, and then we're going to elaborate a little bit on this. So again, if you're new to the broadcast, we welcome you today, and we thank you for hopping on here and being a part of our broadcast. All right, so Daniel chapter 1, in the year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. So here we see Nebuchadnezzar takes captive Jerusalem. The Bible says he besieged it, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. And then the king instructed Asphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the Bible goes on to say, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine in which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah, and this is really what I want to home in. So notice you have an ungodly kingdom now that's in control. It's in leadership. It's in government authority. And you have a remnant that's in the midst of this empire, of this kingdom. And here's the remnant. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, listen to this, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. This is very important in a minute when I elaborate a little bit more on this. All right. But now I'm going to read verse 8 again, and we're going to go back and talk about this a little bit. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. And again, not only did Daniel purpose in his heart, but I'm going to show you that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego also purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. And we're going to elaborate a little bit more on this in just a second. And they would not defile themselves with the wine, the drink, the meat in which the king served. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs, and the chief of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? And then you would endanger my life before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, and we all know this, guys, I'm going to paraphrase this because most of you guys know this. He said, test us for 10 days. Don't give us the meat. Don't give us the wine. Don't give us the king's delicacies, but give us basically vegetables. They went on what we call today a plant-based diet. The church likes to glorify this and call it the Daniel fast, but it really wasn't even a fast. If you want to be technical, it was a they were eating a vegetarian or a plant-based diet, and they abstained from meat, and they abstained from these things, pleasantries. That would be, come on, that would be like the Dunkin' Donuts, and that would be the glazed donuts, and that'd be the potato chips, and the ice creams, and the desserts, and that slice of cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory. It was all those, come on, that's what we call pleasantries, all right? And he said, no, we're going to abstain from these things for 10 days, and then after 10 days, I want you to come in here, and I want you to examine us, and I want you to see how we look in comparison to your servants. So again, y'all know the story. As for these young men, verse 17, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. However, Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the day, at the end of 10 days, they came back, and the Bible says that among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So as a result of this, God promoted them. Now, that was really a foundational text and where I want to go with this, because some of y'all are probably already scratching your head saying, where are you going with this? How is this a parallel? Well, here's what's interesting. So we have a, remember, we have a ungodly governmental authority that's in control, that is making rules, making mandates, making regulations, controlling what the people, now you guys on, by the way, you guys on Facebook, you see, you keep seeing me looking above you, because again, I tried to record this on my desktop or my laptop and it wouldn't do it. So I'm using two different cameras here, and we're doing this more for YouTube and also you guys. So you're gonna see me look down and up continuously. So just wanna let you know there. But you have a government that's mandating and controlling the masses of their diet, what they can eat, what they can drink, what they can hear, what they can do, what they can say, what they can wear, what they can watch, what they should watch. Are you listening to me? But there was a group of men who were of Judah, who again purposed in their hearts before, and by the way, guys, this is a kickoff or a prelude. Chapter one is a kickoff, or it's a, I like to say it's a pre-game festivity before it gets really down to what we want to go with here, what we're going to talk about. So before it ever got really bad, Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, or actually men, whatever you want to say here, already chose that before this thing gets real bad, right now, we're having to decide and make a decision on what we can eat and what we can drink. But we have a hunch that tomorrow or next week or next month, it's going to move from controlling what we eat to control what we hear, what we wear, what we listen to, and what we must do in order for us to be able to operate as a free society or to function in a normal culture. We agree to their terms. We oblige by what they say, their decrees, their mandates. Things will be good for us. Things will go well for us. And they chose, even if, are you listening to me today? Even if things get a little dangerous down the road, we've already made up our mind. If it costs us everything, we're going to continue to serve our God. If it costs us our popularity, if it costs us our jobs, if it costs us our reputation, we have already chose that we're going to keep serving our God. Remember that when I get ready to show you this. So Nebuchadnezzar, let's talk about this guy. Was a king. He was the king of Babylonia from 605 BC to around 563 BC. And he was responsible for changing the name of Daniel to Belshazzar. King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Judah, destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC. By the way, that was prophesied by Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 9. He takes the inhabitants of Judah captive, including a number of children, back to Babylon. And again, incorporates them into a Babylonian society. And it's interesting here that the first thing they did, somebody's going to get this today, is the king began to change their identity. We're not going to refer to you as your gender. Birth, your name from birth. Instead, you will no longer be known as this and that, but we are going to label you. We are going to identify you. We are going to tag you. We are going to change your identity. So Daniel, and by the way, it's interesting when you break down the names. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means God is gracious. And Mishael is who is like God. And Azariah is God helps. So the king changes Daniel's name to Belshazzar, which means Baal to protect the king. Remember the god Baal? Nebuchadnezzar's son or grandson, and Baal was a Babylonian god. Hananiah was changed to Shadrach, meaning the command of Aku, which again, of course, was a Babylonian god. Mishael to Meshach, which is a Babylonian moon god. And Azariah changes to Abednego, which is the Babylonian god of wisdom, Nebo. So it's really kind of offensive that even through all the church that I've known in my 20 years of serving the Lord, we've always referred to these guys as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But honestly, that's offensive. We're referring to them what the enemy identified them as. Come on, somebody. We should be calling them by the names that God gave them. Which again is Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Even I'm guilty of this until I started studying this. And again, look at this parallel. So now we have a society that's renaming you, re-identify. We've got a whole society that don't even know who or what they are. I mean, you can get a driver's license or an ID, and you don't even have to identify as a male or a female, or you can just leave it blank, just whatever. You can identify as whatever you want. So I want to show you where the spirit of this has come from, but that's not where we're going to stop today. Let's go now. Remember, I told you before we go on, when it was a little leaven in the mix, a little leaven, when it was just about controlling what they ate, what they drank, and probably what they wore, let's just be honest, these four men made up their mind and said, even if everybody else dresses like this, even if they all talk like that, even if they all eat like this, even if they all do this, we, come on, are in this world, but we're not of this world. Is anybody listening? But they didn't make that decision when it got bad. And it's going to get bad in a minute when I get into Daniel 3 and Daniel 5. Oh, it gets bad. They didn't wait until that point to make their decision. No, it says they purposed in their heart beforehand. Now watch this. Now let's go over Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image. That word image in Hebrew here is idol. of gold, whose height was 6 cubits and width 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now look at this. It went from, again, you're going to hear me repeat this a lot because I want to get this in your mind and your spirit, because I do believe we're seeing a parallel take place here. It's called conditioning a generation. Notice, again, in the beginning, it was these small, minute things that didn't really matter to many people. Well, so what if they're controlling what we eat or what we drink or what we wear or what we say? That's not that big of a deal. Okay. Then we go over to Daniel chapter 3, and this king is now ordering all the government officials under him to set up a gold idol of himself so that it could be dedicated. What's it mean by dedication? Well, let's read on. Verse 3. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. I want you to get that picture in your head. That's a lot of people. And listen to this, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now look at this. Now you have a huge idol statue of gold that is in the image and the likeness of Nebuchadnezzar. This is idolatry on steroids. And he has commanded not just the people of the province, but notice it started with the leadership. Oh, come on. It started with the governors, the counselors, the magistrates, the judges. It started with the officials and the leadership, and then went down to the common people. And he says, whoever does not fall down and worship this image will be met with death. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and the lyre in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Daniel chapter 3, verse 7. Notice there was a sound. Friends, can I tell you something? I want to speak to those who have a prophetic ear. I want to speak to the sons of Issachar, the watchmen, the prophets, those who have an ear to be inclined to the Spirit of the Lord. The winds of change have blown in. There's a sound that's going out through the land. Are you paying attention? Are you listening? And I believe it's a sound that began all the way in the plains of Shinar, in the plains of Dar, in the plains there in Babylon. And that sound has been going and traveling for thousands of years. And the sound is beginning to resurface again. And at this sound, it's called the sound of dominance, the sound of tyranny, the sound of control. According to Benson's commentary, He states that the image that in which was made wholly of gold and not of different metals to make an ostentatious display of the abundance of his wealth and to provoke the jealousy of his people. Again, the word used here is image. in the usual form in the Hebrew means a shade, a shadow, or a shadow a fourth of anything, or a shadowing of event. Golly. Why is that important? Because the seed of this was planted all the way back in the days of Daniel. The seed of this was planted. But the full growth of maturity of this is going to be seen and felt and be visible when we get to Revelation 13. Let me read it. Tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. This other beast here is the false prophet. The first beast that came up out of the earth or come up out of the sea was the Antichrist. This false prophet has two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. Now, where did that come from? Again, the seed of that was planted all the way back under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. Worship this image. It says he exercised all authority of the first beast in his presence, causes the earth and those who dwell in to worship the first beast, again, which is the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. And he, the false prophet, performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs in which he granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Did you hear that? So the false prophet commands the people of the earth, to create an image in dedication to the beast of the Antichrist. What did we, I just showed you in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar commands the people to create an icon, iconi, image. And by the way, it's the same connotation, same word, everything, Revelation 13, as in Daniel chapter 3. There's going to be this image that's going to be created by the people of the earth in dedication to the Antichrist. And your Bible says that the false prophet will command the people to worship this image. Hello. Wow. This image will both, but this goes to a whole other level, because this image is actually going to be controlled supernaturally by demonic forces, in which it will be able to both speak and has caused as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. It will speak and live, according to some text. There's going to be a supernatural power there. Okay? Now listen to this. I'm going to go back to Daniel 3. So we see what's taking place here, right? Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever." Or they, I could see them saluting him like they did Hitler. "You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever does not fall down and worship it shall be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Listen to this. "There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province." Uh-oh, these guys are in leadership. But listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, they have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. And then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, gave the command, you guys know this story, to bring the three men in, and they are interrogated, questioned. Hello. And they said, why didn't you worship this image? And they said, listen what they say, verse 15. Nebuchadnezzar says, "Now if you're ready at that time, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good, but if you do not worship," listen, this is powerful. He says, if you fall down and worship the image which I have made good for you, it will be well with you. it will go well with you. But, verse 15, if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Guys, listen. There's some crazy things going on right now. In case you're not paying attention, you've got sheriffs that they're one in California and one in New York that are already defying orders of the government. They've defied Cuomo, they've defied Newsom, and there's already all kinds of stirred up all kinds of controversy. Now I know, listen, we're not like other countries. We have this real big roadblock that's standing in the way, and it's called the Constitution of the United States. But I'm going to ask you again, how long will the Constitution stay in place? How long will it remain? What would happen? Can we take a journey just for a second? What would happen if we were to remove the Constitution? What do you think? What would our society look like? Would it look like this? Would it pave the way even more so for Revelation 13 of a kingdom ruled by authority that will command people to worship an image and command people to take a system and be and to enforce a system in which they will not be able to buy, sell, or trade unless they pledge their allegiance to the system? Of course it will. And I've got news for you. That's exactly what's going to happen per se, because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says there's a restrainer that is actually restraining the Antichrist from being revealed. But when that restrainer is removed, and I don't have time to go into it and elaborate who the restrainer is. I've got my own opinions on that, but everybody's got different views and different expressions on who this restrainer is. But nevertheless, we know that whoever and whatever this restrainer is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when that restrainer is removed from the scene, then the Antichrist comes to full power. So I'm not saying the Constitution of the United States is the restrainer mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 2, but what I am saying is the Constitution here in America, at least right now in 2020, is a restrainer of this of our nation going into full-blown tyranny. So we know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse to bow down and worship this image, and into the fiery furnace they go, but God himself steps into the midst of the fire, come on, hallelujah, and delivers these three men, in which they come out neither smelling like smoke, nor was they touched by the fire. Then we go to Daniel 5. At the end of Daniel 5, you see Nebuchadnezzar's rule runs out. Then his son, Belshazzar, takes over, and he rules for a short period of time. Then there's a prophetic warning, a writing on the wall, a harbinger, if you would, that his kingdom would fall. And in verse 30 of Daniel 5, it says, that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being 62 years of old. Let me talk about King Darius for a second. This was a man who loved Daniel. He had a relationship with Daniel. They were good friends. He looked up. He esteemed Daniel very high. And he loved Daniel. But watch what it says in Daniel 6. It pleased Darius to set Daniel over the kingdom. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one of, that the satraps might give account to them. So that the king would suffer no loss. And then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because he had an excellent spirit that was on him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the entire kingdom. So the governors and satraps sought to find charges against Daniel. Imagine that. Come on. Jealousy rose up in the ranks. And listen, just on a practical application here, listen, if you're blood bought, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're a born again Christian, a believer, spirit filled, love God, and you're serving God, and you're at your work, and you've got people falsely accusing you, lying on you, doing all kinds of things to try to keep you from being promoted, try to keep you from being elevated. And you wonder why that is. Listen, it's probably because what's in them is, come on, provoked by what's in you. And that's exactly what we see here. These men were provoked because they didn't have the same spirit as Daniel did. But listen to this. They try to set him up. They try to find a fault against him. And the Bible says, but he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. So these men said, quote, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors, here we go, another entire governmental meeting, have counseled together to establish a royal statue. Here we go. And to make a firm decree that whosoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O King Darius, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians and does not alter. I want to tell you right now, friends, that this same spirit is making its course through the land of America, running through Europe, running through countries right now, sweeping through. What am I talking about? I believe based on the parallels of Daniel, chapter 1, Daniel chapter 3, and Daniel chapter 5. And we'll finish that in just a second. But notice they couldn't find fault in the character of the Christian, of the man of God. So instead, they moved to another level and said, we can't find fault in him, in his character, or in his excellence. So we're going to go after the God in whom he serves. We're going to go after can I put this in modern terms? We're going to start going after that Bible. Because that Bible has got some stuff written in it that is, quote, offensive and is deemed hateful and deemed bigotry. And therefore, we can't have this. So we are going to work overtime to not, how far do you want me to go with this? I'm not prophesying this. But I would not be surprised if the Constitution holds up for years to come. And the Constitution, and I'm speaking for America here, not for anybody else watching outside of America. If the Constitution holds up and they can't deal treacherously with believers because of the Constitution, then I very well could see where the Bible could come under such great assault and attack. Like, look at China, guys. The Bible is deemed offensive in China. In fact, it's deemed so offensive that Chinese authorities are going into churches, going into homes, going into underground chambers, going into these places of worship, and they're removing bookstores, removing the Bibles, removing them from the possessions of the people, removing them from the possessions of the pastors, removing them from bookstores, removing them on online content and sales, and even going as far as replacing literature or adding the communist verbiage and literatures and decrees into the Bible and incorporating them into their Bibles, incorporating them into their hymns, incorporating them into their Sunday school teachings. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Again, the seed was planted back in the times of Daniel chapter 1. The seed started out with the control of what you eat, what you wear, what you say, what you drink, what you do. And you say, "Well, nobody's controlling me, brother." Really? You think not? Turn on the television. Who do you think controls the media? Who do you controls the airways? Satellite, shortwave radio, television. The Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. You may say, "Well, I'm free." Well, you may be free as in no shackles, no chains, no bars, and no confinement for now. But are you really free? When we're supposed to be upheld by the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, when a doctor in his own time expresses his own opinions on how he feels about wearing masks, gets his medical license suspended, I have to ask you, are we really free? When social media giants are suppressing, removing, deleting, shadow banning things that are not in accordance to the system, are we really free? So this is what I'm asking you today. Again, it starts with a little leaven. It starts with a seed. It started with the control of this is what you're going to eat. This is what you're going to listen to. This is the channel you're going to tune into. This is the news that you need to watch. This is where you should shop. This is what you shouldn't wear. Come on, somebody. You can't say that. Don't say this word. Don't say that word. Let's remove this. Let's remove that. Let's take this down. Have you ever heard of the cancel culture? Remove this, remove that, take this down, scrub the history of that. Textbooks, remove this, take this out. Why? Because you're going to conform to the Babylonian Empire. But then it moves from the seed. Then it takes root, Daniel chapter 3. And once it takes seed and it takes root, something begins to spring forth out of the earth. And we see in Daniel chapter 3, what sprang out of the earth was governmental tyranny in which people were then forced to worship idolatry and worship this king who was in control. And if you didn't, there was severe consequences. And then you go to the Revelation chapter 6 and you got the same thing again. You got a government system, Daniel 6, which the leaders, they were protected and couldn't find fault in the character or the work ethic of the Christians of that day. So instead, they pulled some strings and manipulated things to bring forth new legislation to come against the God that they serve. You will no longer pray to your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You will only pray to King Darius. You will only worship King Darius. You will only serve King Darius. I wish somebody would be listening today. I know a lot of you is getting this. So let me ask you this. What was Daniel's response? This is so powerful. In verse 9, it says, "Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God." Now, again, what did Daniel do? He didn't cower down. He didn't back down. He didn't run. He didn't hide. He went home. He opened his window. Don't you know, Daniel, you should have never opened your window, because if you start praying, somebody can hear you. Your neighbors can hear you, dummy. You got to shut the window and close your blinds and go down in the basement so you can be sure and turn off all the lights, for goodness sake. and turn off your smartphones and your TVs because they can all record you and hear you and everything you're saying, and turn off Alexa and everything else. No, that's not what he did. Come on. He opened the window, opened the blinds, and he prayed not once, not twice, but three times that day loud, and he made it verbal and he made it known that I don't, listen, here's what he said. I worship one and one only, and that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what was the result of this? So the men assembled and found Daniel praying. Notice they assembled. How did they find him praying? They came to his house because they knew he was a believer. They knew he would be praying. They knew he, oh, come on, somebody. They just saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they did not flinch, and they made themselves like their face like flint. They went into a fiery furnace, and there was a fourth man and likened unto the Son of Man that appeared, and they came out not burnt and not smelling like smoke. So these guys already knew. Are you listening to me? They already heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they already knew that Daniel wasn't going to back down. I wish we'd get some believers today with the spirit and the anointing of Daniel. They didn't back down. So they had assembled men. They sent people to his door to listen, to watch, to do a friendly visitation. And when they got there, they found him praying and making supplications before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered, said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you. I love how they just try to, excuse me, but kiss his butt. I know that's kind of vulgar, but whatever. That's what I thought of. So just deal with it. I'm Southern. I'm a Kentucky boy. They brown nose. I love how they do this. Oh, king, live forever. Oh, king, look at this. Oh, look, he's not serving you. And the king heard these words, and he was greatly displeased with himself. Notice he said, it says he was displeased with himself. He wasn't displeased with Daniel. The King Darius had no problem with Daniel worshiping God. It was the leadership. This is so powerful. So many times you'll have a king or a president whose heart is towards God. Oh, are you listening to me? But that doesn't mean the rest of his administration or, come on, the House or the Senate are on board with him, because that was the case here. King Darius loved Daniel. He had no problem with him serving God, but it was those under the authority of King Darius. So listen to what it says. He was greatly displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then these men approached the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. They wanted this boy dead. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, listen to this, quote, your God in whom you serve continually. I love this. He didn't say he may deliver you, he might deliver you, or he could deliver you. He says, I quote, your God in whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Golly. This may not do nothing for you, but this is exciting to me, because King Darius understood that three young men already went through this, and the God they serve brought them out on the other side. So King Darius had enough faith. I believe, listen, I can't prove this, but I believe King Darius may have been a closet Christian, a closet believer, because this guy's got more faith than some of the believers I know. And he says, Daniel, I know you're going to go in the lions. You're going to be tossed into a den of lions, but I know the God you serve shall deliver you. Who says that? Listen to this. And then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. And now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. He was fasting. Again, I'm telling you, this man was serving the God of Daniel. And no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. And then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. And the king spoke, saying to Daniel, he said, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And then Daniel answered and said, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. And now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And I'm going to tell you what happened after that. The king commanded those jokers to come in here who sentenced him to death. And God, come on, what the enemy intended for evil, God turned it around. And those jokers were the ones that was sent into the lion's den. And those lions got, come on, they got a fancy three-course meal served to them that night. I'm here to tell you, friends, that we are seeing a parallel happening. We're seeing the winds of change blowing in. The seeds have been planted. What is growing, what is producing, and what is blooming, I believe, is right in the prophetic pages of the book of Daniel. I believe it's starting to take place. I believe it's starting to unfold again in our lifetime. And we, you, me, you who are listening, you who are watching this today, we have got to make up our mind right now. Not later, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not 3 years now, not if Trump wins the election or if he don't win the election. You've got a purpose in your heart today that you're going to make your face like flint. You're going to be like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're going to be like Daniel. You're going to be like these men, and you're going to say, come on, come hell or high water, if I lose my head, if I die, if I sink, if I swim, if I go through the valley, if I go to the mountain, whatever I may face, come on, I know the God whom I serve. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have got to make that decision today. And I want you to, listen, I'm going to pray for you right now to make that decision. I don't care. Listen, if you don't know God, if you're backslid, if you're away from God, you once had a relationship with God, or if you already know God, we're going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice today for this special broadcast today. Lord, I believe that there's people watching. I believe there's people listening right now. God, they're not ready. They're not prepared. Lord, if this thing takes a turn for the worse, and eventually it will, and eventually it has to prophetically, eventually there's coming another governmental system that's going to rise up. And it's going to control buying, selling, and trading. And it's going to issue decrees across the land that people are going to begin to have to worship and bow down and serve a deity and serve an idol God and serve a rulership that's going to be controlled by Satan. And Lord, we're not going to wait until we get into the tribulation. We're going to wait. We're going to make our decision right now. And Father, right now, by your grace, by your mercy, and by your strength, and by the Spirit of God, we ask today, God, that you would help us be pledged to you. We have pledged our allegiance to the Lamb. We pledge our allegiance to you and to your word and to your Spirit. And Lord, we ask today that you, Lord God, who died, was buried, and rose again on the third day, we ask today that we put our faith and we put our trust in you, the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one living Christ, the anointed one, Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We believe you are Redeemer, Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he which was, which is, and which is to come again. We put our faith and we put our trust in you today. And we ask that you would help us, guide us, lead us, direct us, give us strength in the days ahead. For we know, based upon your word, we are in perilous times and it's only going to get darker, but we can choose to become brighter because we are the city set upon a hill. We are salt of the earth. We are a light that lets our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said amen and amen. Guys, again, we thank you for joining us today on this special broadcast. Again, if this is your first time, please let us know under the Facebook Live comment section that you're live and where you're joining us from. Again, if you'd like to know more about our ministry, guys, I apologize. Usually, typically, I've got visuals here on Facebook Live, but I wasn't able to do that because there's a lot of bugs going on with Facebook because they updated their new Pages platform, and we did that. And I was kind of hesitant. I should have waited, but I went ahead and did it. But there's some bugs. It's working out. And until we get that fixed, this is kind of how we're going to have to do it. But you guys on YouTube, you're going to see all the graphics. You're going to see the visuals. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to go. That you can subscribe to us, get our daily digest. Again, we have a free app. And it is absolutely free. It's available on Android and Apple. We'd love for you to download that free today after this broadcast. Again, it's free and it's available on Android and Apple for your convenience. Again, guys, if you'd like to support this ministry, if this ministry has been a blessing, it's a continual source of encouragement, edification, and information to you, and you'd like to know more about partnering with us or supporting us with a one-time gift, whatever the case would be, you can do that by visiting our main website at endtimeheadlines.org or endtimeheadlines.com. You can give electronically or you can give by check or money order, and all that information is going to be there when you click on the main website or right there on your screen if you're watching by YouTube as well. So again, we love you guys. And listen, before we sign off, tomorrow we are going to be airing this past Friday we did a taping. I did a taping with Jason Armstrong of Remnant Fire Ministries, on his podcast. We did a taping. It was an excellent taping, and he's going to release that tomorrow. So as soon as we get the green light, we're going to upload that taping to our podcast. We're going to upload that taping to our YouTube channel as well, so you guys can listen to that. We'll post that there on Facebook Live and all of our social media outlets as well. So, guys, we're going to sign off for today until we see you probably on Wednesday. God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he bless you. May his countenance shine upon you in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.